Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Stevie Nicol. A little later on in the show, we'll be celebrating International Women's Day in some style as both Alexis and Gemma will be here. But we'll kick things off in the Champions League. Liverpool taking on Inter Milan. Remember, Liverpool with a 2-0 lead going into this second leg. It was a scrappy old game. Inter winning it by 1-0. A brilliant strike from Lautaro Martinez, giving them the goal, but they couldn't find the second. Just after Martinez scored, Sanchez would be sent off for a second bookable offence. We saw Salah hit the post a couple of times. In the end, Inter out. Liverpool advance to the quarterfinals. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Stuart Robson's here, as is Don Hutchinson and Gab Marcotti. Robert, let's start with you. How do you kind of sum up this game?
With difficulty, because I didn't think Liverpool played particularly well. I thought they were going to come out with a high intensity, win the ball back, because Inter wanted to try and play out from the back, and they can be caught. But they played around Liverpool's pressure. But unfortunately for Inter, they didn't really have enough to run in behind Liverpool. There was a couple of times in the first half when a through ball was played to Lautaro Martinez and Van Dijk put on the burners and Martinez gave up on it. Liverpool didn't play at their best. If you look at some of their players, I thought that Curtis Jones would, you know, with Thiago, would dominate midfield for Fabinho, but that wasn't the case. Brozovic was the player that got most touches on the ball and looked as though he could pick out passes. I thought the wing-backs also got into the game, particularly Perisic against Alexander-Arnold. And as the game wore on, I thought Inter looked more likely to go and get that first goal. And it was a brilliant goal from Lautaro Martinez. But then the sending off changed everything and Liverpool could coast for the last 15, 20 minutes.
There's a game you feel that just lacks a lot of quality, Stevie.
Aye, yeah. I mean, you can argue that Liverpool hit the post twice and they hit the bar, but the truth is, with the quality they have, they shouldn't be hitting the post or the bar. The ball should be going in the back of the net. And I was disappointed in Inter. I agree with Robbo. They had far too much of the ball in the middle of the park, but they just never used it well. They coughed it up when they shouldn't have. And as he said again, there's no threat. Mm. You know, nobody's running. The one thing you can do with Liverpool is getting behind them. But to do that, you need a bit of pace. And when you don't have that, then you're not getting anything. And to be honest, the goal came out of the blue. I mean, it's not very often that we can criticise Virgil van Dijk, but on this occasion, he doesn't step to the ball. He stays off and he basically says, go on then.
Yeah.
And Lautaro, my, what a goal. Yeah. Great strike, top corner. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, you know, from being really, really comfortable, it's like, they can get another one here. And then 2 seconds later, Sanchez gets sent off and the game's done. So, disappointing game, to be honest, as far as quality is concerned.
Damage really done in the first leg, Gab.
Damage done in the first leg, but again, Inter were in it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get vibes from a game, and certainly the first leg, I know Stevie may disagree, but I thought Inter played really well for sort of 60-70 minutes, and then obviously Liverpool got those two goals at the end, and the vibe I got from that, oh, this is Liverpool's night. I look at this game, I look at Liverpool hitting the post, and the vibe was, oh, this could be Inter's night, and then Alexis gets himself sent off in the way he did. But I think there's still a ton of good takeaways, you know, if you're Simone Inzaghi. You know, you were 2 goals down from the first leg at home. You go to Anfield, we hear all this Fortress Anfield, all this other stuff. And, you know, you hang in there and you're 1 goal away from taking it to extra time. This despite the fact that there's a lot of people arguing that, no, forget this. You're not going to go through anyway. Let's just focus on winning the Serie A title again, because it's difficult for Inter to do both. I think this is a big step forward. In the end, Liverpool are simply, I think, a better side with better players.
a big step forward for Inter, or a missed opportunity to get one past Liverpool on a night where they clearly didn't show up?
I think it's a step forward in terms of performance because, you know, missed opportunity, you can go back, but you created the problem for yourself with Alexis getting sent off. Alexis doesn't get sent off. I think we see a totally different vibe toward the end. You know, maybe we see Edin Dzeko. We see a different approach. You know, there's always regrets. It's not like Inter were absolutely fantastic in this game either. You know, you mentioned Lautaro. He did score a phenomenal goal. There were several situations where he did get past Van Dijk, and then Van Dijk just goes and closes him down, and he doesn't take him on, for example. He just looked a little bit fearful. I think that's part of being a great defender, is being able to also just with your presence intimidate strikers. I expect more from Lautaro, frankly. But, you know, the priority for Inter, after losing the first leg, had to be Serie A. And to be able to come here and put on that kind of performance where you're in it, you're in the game until the very end, I think is a credit to Simone Inzaghi and to the players.
Don?
I thought it was a good game. Not in terms of quality, but I thought it was passionate. I thought Vidal in midfield was brilliant for Inter. I thought Fabinho the same. I thought Bastoni defended incredibly well. Perisic, another player. You go through all the individuals. And it was a very tight two games, tight in San Siro. I think the scoreline flattered Liverpool slightly. And I was watching the game tonight and I'm thinking, where's it going to go? The red card changed everything. But then Liverpool had the best chances in the game. Mo Salah hit the post twice. Diaz had one off the line from about 4 or 5 yards. And it was one of them where you just, if Inter had 11 men, they would have given Liverpool a proper test. And the takeaway from it was that Inter's best player, Barella, wasn't even fit for the two legs. If they had him tonight, that might have been a different story. But at the same time, I still thought that Liverpool had gears to go through if they really needed them. The first hour of the game, or certainly the first 45, they played with a handbrake on. They thought, we're winning 2-0. We don't really need to push. Possession is king. And in the end, they had to hang on.
But, Don, I suppose the argument is you can point to Alexis Sanchez sending off. And you say if they had 11 men, it would be a very different game. But you think for 60 minutes at Anfield and for 90 minutes in Italy, they never really tested that Liverpool defence.
That's the worry. And that's what Gab's saying, Dan. You know, you analyse what Inter have got and you analyse what Liverpool have got. And Liverpool are a better side. They've got better individuals at the top end of the pitch. You know, they all walk into Inter's side. There was points in the game where you're watching Inter Milan and you're thinking, go on, then can you? And then the boys are right. There was a through ball play to Lautaro Martinez. He was level with Virgil van Dijk. He fancied the foot race. Van Dijk went into second or third gear, burnt him off, and then never seen Lautaro Martinez again until his goal. So there's work for Inter, but I think when Inzaghi analyses the game, away at Anfield, the shift that the players put in, and again, I'm not being patronising, they can come away from that game Inter thinking, we've done well there.
You know, somebody starts with, I'm not being patronising.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear that.
No. I'm not.
Well, would you sat here and said that over two games, they haven't really troubled Liverpool? I don't wish to be harsh on Inter, but at no stage ever in these two games was I in any way, shape or form worried. Not at all. So, listen, you can try and figure out how great or how fantastic Inter have done over the two legs where they kept it tight and then they were back in it, and if they hadn't had a red card, well, guess what? They probably should have had a red card earlier because he shouldn't have been on the field when he got his second yellow. So, I don't wish to be harsh, but I never once ever thought this was going to go any other way than Liverpool's way.
Robbo?
Well, I agree. The one and two touch in midfield was good. The playing out from the back was good. But when you look at the front players, over the two games, Dzeko was never going to run behind in the first game. He was never going to get on the end of crosses because Inter didn't get high enough at times. Only Perisic was the player that looked as though he was going to get crosses into the box. And today, I presumed he played Sanchez and Martinez to run in behind and to link up as a pair. They did that to a certain degree, but there was no threat in behind. And that allows Liverpool, I thought, to play at 80%. And throughout the two games, Inter have played at 100%. That's why they had to slide into tackles and make last-ditch tackles. Liverpool could play within themselves probably at 80%, and they were still just too good for Inter.
Go on, Gab.
No, I just want to say, like, this is Liverpool come into this game on the back of 12 consecutive wins. As I've said in other shows, I don't think Liverpool have been anywhere near 100%, except perhaps for the League Cup final against Chelsea, in most of those games. They gave up chances to West Ham, they gave up chances to Burnley, they gave up chances to Leicester. This has been the story of Liverpool. You can look at this and say, well, that's great. You know, they're tired, they're being savvy, they're managing themselves, they're winning ugly, and it takes that if you're gonna hang in there until the very end. And that's fantastic. But as Robbo said, despite all this from Liverpool, and I didn't think Liverpool were necessarily great tonight either, you know, over the two legs, it took Inter at full tilt, albeit Inter at full tilt without their best player and tonight, obviously, without, this was by choice, obviously, without Dzeko and without the possibility of Dzeko, you know, perhaps coming on and Inter doing something different because they went down to 10 men.
So, Inter out, Liverpool through to the quarterfinals. Of course, they are very much in the conversation to go all the way and win the title. Manchester City favourites as it stands. Robert, what's more likely? They win the Premier League or the Champions League?
I don't think they're going to win the Premier League. I think Man City are going to win the Premier League. I think they've got more chance of the Champions League, depending, you know, who they get and how they keep players fit. But I don't think they're going to catch Man City. They've got every chance in the Champions League. They didn't play well, didn't play at their very best over the last two games, but they've still got a good squad. They've got some exciting players going forward, and they will be a threat.
Well, I'll tell you what, I do agree with Gab in saying that Liverpool have not been at their best all the way through this run.
Right.
But I would suggest that the fact that they haven't been at their best and they've won 12 straight should be a worry for everybody else. Because with the talent they have and the squad they have and the players they have, my goodness, somebody's in for it. Somebody's in trouble. Somebody's in trouble when they do start playing. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm probably with Robbo as well. I think the Champions League is probably just ahead of the Premier League. But, yeah, I don't want to play Liverpool, put it that way. I don't want nothing to do with them.
Just one more thing on the game. Was the sending off correct, in your opinion, Gab?
I think with the way the rules are now, yes. I think he got the ball. But you have to know that if you get the ball in that way, you're not going to have time to bring your studs down. And you will get a second booking. Simple as. Maybe the boys in the studio are going to tell me, well, in my day, that wouldn't have been a foul or whatever. Maybe it's true, but, you know, it's 2022. He should have known better.
Don?
Same. You can't make that tackle on the yellow card, Dan. I mean, he was lucky to stay on the pitch for the tackle earlier on in the game on Thiago. And then once you commit a bad one, there must be something in your brain, if you're Alexis Sanchez, where you think, I've got away with one. I mean, that pitch is horrendous. I mean, that's a red card all day long. And you get away with that one, then surely you've got to be clever enough to say, I'm not going to go in for any little 50-50s. Even though you want to try and be competitive in the game, you don't want to duck out of a tackle, you cannot make that tackle whatsoever when you're on a yellow card.
Mr. Robson.
Yeah, I mean, he should have been sent off in the first half. It was a poor challenge. The second one, I think it's difficult for him to stop. But as the guy said, he lunged into so many challenges in exactly the same way. And as soon as he was going to catch Fabinho, you knew he was going to get a yellow card. So he had to go.
Well, I have to agree that in today's game, the way the game's refereed, that's a yellow card. However, we were talking a few weeks ago about, in football, there are certain things that are in the book and the way that the game's refereed that we wouldn't have anything to do with. We would just turn around and say, well, that's not right in the spirit of the game. And that's this occasion. This challenge, I do not understand what Sanchez has to do. And I think it's too easy to sit and say, why is he lunging into a challenge? Well, I'll tell you what, they're 2-0 down and they're trying to get back in a Champions League tie. You better be committed. And the fact is, he gets to the ball first. It's a complete and utter accident. There is no intent whatsoever. He does catch Fabinho. And to be punished for that, I just find that wrong. I don't find that right at all.
Alexis Sanchez, of course, sent off then, but Liverpool through to the quarterfinals, going through 2-1 on aggregate. And just a reminder, for a lot more content with regards to our Champions League reviews, you can check them out over on our YouTube channel. Go and subscribe to ESPN FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, history was made in Germany as Robert Lewandowski scored the fastest ever hat-trick in knockout stage history as part of Bayern's 7-1 thrashing of Salzburg. Thomas Müller getting a brace as well. Sané and Gnabry getting in on the action. Gab, this was as easy gets.
It was, and look, you could say that it's because the magic stardust and leadership of Manuel Neuer is back in the side between the sticks. That was part of it, the Lewandowski's record hat-trick, obviously part of it. But I think more broadly, Bayern hadn't been playing well for the last three, four, five games, including the first leg, which obviously finished 1-1. And I think they went out there and they kind of wanted to remind themselves and remind everybody else that, yeah, we're still Bayern München. We can still go out and flatten you if you try to take us on, if you take too many chances, which Salzburg did away from home in the way they attacked. And that was that. 7-1. See you later.
Yep. Bish, bash, bosh. No problem, Don.
No, it's all about levels, Dan. And I'm not being patronising. Salzburg have done really well, especially in the first leg. They get the 1-1 and they... I would say put up the fight, but not tonight. Bayern were just the machine that Bayern are. Gab's right, they've not been great of late, but they're still 9 points clear. They're still averaging 3 goals a game. Lewandowski's hit 40 goals, 7 seasons on the spin. They were just far too strong. And a Salzburg side, who I think in the end, Dan, finished with 3 teenagers on the pitch, they were never going to go past Bayern, not at the Allianz.
They've got to give Lewandowski a new contract, don't they, Gab?
It's an interesting one because obviously, you know, they have a policy, they have an idea. He's one of their highest earners, if not the highest earner. And time passes for him like it does for everybody else. You know, his current contract, I think, takes him through until he's 33. Do you want to tack on a year on top of that? Maybe, possibly. Haaland's likely not coming. But I don't know that they want to go much beyond that. And so that's a conversation. Does Lewandowski want to keep going with one-year extensions? That's the challenge that they're facing now. But I think, you know, if you think about somebody like Karim Adeyemi or those guys that or who's one of the youngsters saying like, oh, we'll just go young and replace him. I don't know. It seems like a big step right now if you want to remain competitive. So might as well see if you can get another year from Lewandowski.
Yeah, very much so. You're trying to replace the irreplaceable, really, Stevie. Yeah. Of course, banging in goals once again today. Best striker in the world?
It's an argument.
Oh.
It's definitely an argument. If I was taking a striker now, I would probably take Haaland.
Because of his age?
Just because of his age. But as far as ability, as far as what they're doing right now, then absolutely you could argue that. I would, however, say that I am absolutely gobsmacked. Whether Bayern Munich have got a particular plan that they have to follow, are you serious that you're not offering this guy a new deal right now, as soon as he can put the pen in his hand and sign it? I'm sorry. There's zero to think about. Get him signed. Give him 2 years.
Pick up game tonight, Don. Who's your striker?
Well, I think Lewandowski's the best, and the only thing that goes against him, like Stevie said there, is the age. But as I said before, he's prolific, always has been. I mean, there's not many strikers that have gone 7 seasons on the spin hitting over 40. I mean, he guarantees it. He's hardly ever injured. He's still physically extremely fit. He's great in the air. He hasn't lost any pace whatsoever. I think as number nines go, Dan, I think he's the best out there.
Third favourite, Scab, would that be fair behind City and Liverpool to win this?
They're up there. I think they're definitely up there. They have the ingredients. Again, if Neuer comes back, I think having a shutdown keeper in the knockouts is absolutely critical. I think whoever goes through out of Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, I think you would have to throw them in the mix as well. And, you know, let's not also be entirely disrespectful to the defending European champions either.
Oh, yeah. Chelsea. You saying Chelsea are going to win it? Oh, Gab.
No, I don't think Chelsea are as good as Manchester City right now. Thank you, Captain Obvious. But it is a knockout competition, and you know we've seen how close it can be. We can see. I mean, Liverpool are in abstract terms, they're several orders better than Inter Milan, and yet we saw one goal, one mistake, and it's extra time. So you know. I think we have to take these things into account. It's far more level. It's a knockout competition for a reason. This is not a league.
More discussion about what happened in the Champions League today over on Extra Time. Gab and Dom back with us, as well as Stevie. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel. And just a reminder that the Bundesliga continues this weekend on ESPN+. It starts on Saturday. Hoffenheim taking on Bayern Munich, kick things off in the early game. And then on Sunday, Bayer Leverkusen against Cologne, and it's Borussia Dortmund against Bielefeld.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
It is all to play for, isn't it, the Santiago Bernabeu for the second leg between Real Madrid and PSG. The bookies have PSG big favourites to advance. They, of course, take a 1-0 lead into this tie. For Real Madrid, no Casemiro, no Mendy for Carlo Ancelotti to call on. Both of them suspended. And let's see if that has any effect on the boys' predictions. Well, interesting enough, Stevie has got Madrid to go through. Robbo's got a draw on the night with PSG advancing. Gab's also going for Real Madrid to advance the quarterfinals. I think that surprised me. I thought you boys might go for PSG. Stevie, why?
Well, after the first leg, I was absolutely 100% in the PSG camp.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, hold on, they have just battered Real Madrid. Real Madrid aren't going to have Casemiro. They're not going to have Mendy.
No, I mentioned
that. What are they going to do? They're going to have to play Marcelo.
Right.
And the way that they were playing. But then as time's gone by and I've thought about it, I'm like, you know, this PSG side, they're a bunch of bottle merchants. I mean, they've basically bottled it most of the time.
Wow.
So I'm going to go with Real Madrid. They haven't been at their very best. That is, you can't argue that. But they're getting it done. And they've only got one goal to get back. They've got 90 minutes to get one goal.
How can they be bottle merchants when you've got the likes
PSG?
Of Lionel Messi in the side? Neymar in the side?
Can
Kylian
they?
Mbappe.
Do you want to go back? Do you want to go back year after year of all the things and then you're going to throw Messi at me? Hold on a second. Was Messi not playing for Barcelona when he got Müller against Liverpool at Anfield? So, I mean, seriously.
But you can also put all the Champions Leagues that he's won.
But it's away from home. It's in Madrid, the same as Barcelona away from home in Anfield, and Messi did absolutely nothing in that game.
Right, well, he scored a hat-trick in the first leg of that game, didn't he?
He's been part of bottling it. PSG have bottled it in the Champions League so far, pretty much every time.
I don't think you can sell Lionel Messi, one of the greatest players ever, as a bottler.
He was part of a team that bottled it. Is that correct or not?
Also part of a team that's...
Dan, is that correct?
Yes.
Is he part of a team? Or is he just a one...
Is he also part of a team that has won the Champions League in the past?
Oh, so it suits you now, but he actually was part of a team that bottled it.
But then you... I'm just telling you.
You can go through that PSG side, and every one of them pretty much has been involved in bottling it. But you don't want to hear that.
That doesn't count. You don't want to hear about Messi's success.
That doesn't count.
Right.
I'm telling
only,
you.
Only the parts that help your argument
count. It's your argument.
That's where you're going.
Yeah. Bottle it. Real Madrid.
Right. PSG are going to bottle.
Wait, I better be on the show. Oh, I'm not.
You're not?
Oh.
Oh, what a shame. Robbo, PSG a bunch of bottlers.
Obviously so. If Stevie says that, they must be, you know. So, obviously, Stevie was never in a losing team because he wasn't a bottler.
Hold on a second. Go and have a look at the results. Go and have a look at the... How many times have PSG won the Champions League?
None.
Thank you.
How many times have Lionel Messi?
I rest my case.
How many times have Lionel Messi in that
team? I rest my case. Zero.
Anyway. PSG, I don't think an outstanding team at the moment, but I wouldn't say that about Real Madrid. And you mentioned it, Dan. Casemiro and Mendy out the side, I think it's a massive blow for Real Madrid. Casemiro has been brilliant this season as the holding midfield player, as he always is. He gets back between the centre halves, which allows the fullbacks to get further forward. He allows Modric to play further forward and be a creative player, which they need when they're trying to come from behind. And I think it's a difficult game for Real Madrid to know exactly how to play because they don't want to be caught on the counter-attack. But they also don't want to defend too deadly because they've got to press the ball because they've got to try and win the game. So I just think it's a difficult game for them. Who they play in the holding midfield role is going to be important. Who they play at left back, I'd imagine it's either Nacho or Alaba plays at left back and the other one plays at centre half. And I just think it's a difficult game for Ancelotti. He's got to get his tactics absolutely right. If he doesn't, I think PSG will get through.
Gab, you disagree?
Yeah, look, I don't have super strong feelings about this. It's more of a vibe from what I saw at the weekend from Real Madrid, where, you know, we saw them a goal down, we saw them get back into the game, we saw them press, we saw them play high up the pitch, we saw periods, we know that they can sit and defend and unleash the Vinicius-Benzema partnership on the counter. We saw Camavinga certainly in very good form. And all these things to me and the Bernabeu factor, looking against Paris Saint-Germain side, who were absolutely atrocious at the weekend. Now, I know that there was no Mbappe and there was no Hakimi, and I know that Paris Saint-Germain have this capacity to, since they've already won Ligue 1, to kind of go and sort of screw around domestically and then turn it on in Europe. But still, that was absolutely terrible against Nice. Gini Wijnaldum, speaking of a guy who I believe was in that Liverpool team that beat Barcelona at Anfield when Barcelona bottled it. Gini Wijnaldum played in the first half. He played 45 minutes. He touched the ball 9 times. That's really, really difficult to do if you're playing as a midfielder in a team that has 55% possession. So, look, I don't think he's going to start at the Bernabeu, but there's a lot of dysfunctions to this team. Now, obviously, they have the individuals that can win it single-handedly, no question about that. But I think it's a lot for Pochettino to fix very, very quickly against a Real Madrid side who I think, and as important as Casemiro and Mendy are, I think are in decent shape.
What a match it's going to be. Gab, just as you're here, I wanted to talk to you about something out off the pitch from PSG, with a Swiss court, of course, calling for PSG president Nasser Al-Khelaifi to be jailed as part of FIFA Gate. What can you tell us about this?
Okay, so this isn't the Swiss court necessarily. It's the prosecutor. It's not like the court has passed a verdict and said he's guilty and he needs to be jailed. But the sentence is 28 months. That's what the prosecution is asking for. He's been on trial before this. And on that occasion, he was found not guilty, and so they've appealed it, and it's gone to this higher court. All of this has to do with the selling of television rights to the 2026 and 2030 World Cups, because of course Nasser Al-Khelaifi's day job is to run beIN Sport. They acquire the rights to that competition. The FIFA general secretary at the time was the disgraced Jerome Valk. Part of the allegations were that there was, effectively the allegation, which Al-Khelaifi has always denied, is that he paid some sort of bribe to Jerome Valk, including buying him, effectively buying a 5 million euro villa, a luxury villa in Sardinia for Valk's personal use. This has always been denied, although Valk did concede that he asked Al-Khelaifi for financial help. I don't know what new evidence has emerged. My guess is unless they have some new evidence, I don't see how this verdict could change. But verdict probably expecting in the coming weeks at this stage.
Gab, as always, thank you for keeping us up to date with everything going on there. Just a reminder, El Clasico almost upon us, March the 20th, live on ESPN+. Coverage starting at 2:30 Eastern. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Well, it's time to celebrate International Women's Day in some style as we welcome in, look at this, Alexis Nunes and Gemma Soler are both with us. Gemma, you take a look at Porteous and she's really making an impact, isn't she, with regards to the coverage that the women's game is getting.
Yeah, hola, Dan. Definitely. Her generation and herself, they changed so much the paradigm of women's football. They are inspiring all little girls that they are interested in football, that they can one day be professional football players. This was impossible in the previous generation. And they did it such in a short time. I remember the first time they managed to get into the Champions League final, 2019 in Budapest. They didn't have any chance against Olympique de Lyon. And from that defeat, they learned so much, they improved so much, and they managed 2 years later in Gothenburg to finally beat Chelsea and be Champions League winners. She's Ballon d'Or now, and she's inspiring so much. And they are about to beat the goal record of attendance in a stadium. Now it's in the Rose Bowl Pasadena Stadium. And they will play El Clásico, the next clash of Champions League, and they already sold 85,000. So if they manage to do full capacity at the Camp Nou, 99,000, it will be the world record of attendance in a football for a women's match.
It's incredible how quickly this change seems to be happening. Alexis, I want to talk to you about the Premier League in a moment, but first, where are you? What are you doing?
Well, Dan, I'm actually in Leipzig, as we know the guys like to say. First time here in Leipzig, we get to speak to the USA's Tyler Adams tomorrow, literally in just a couple of hours. He's been so kind to invite us at ESPN FC into his house to see everything from his sneaker collection to a photo gallery to, you know, this art collection that he has. And keeping in the theme of International Women's Day, he's definitely in a good way a mama's boy, as he says. Everything that he's achieved, he owes to his mom, his love for art and photography that we're going to get to learn a bit more about tomorrow. He says he owes it to his mom, and we're going to get to pick his brain about some interesting topics as well, like Jesse Marsh being a part of Leeds. We know that he knows him quite well from his time at Leipzig, as well as a certain Ralph Ragnick, who we know is at Manchester United. Now, he was actually the one that signed Tyler Adams to Leipzig. So some exciting stuff tomorrow for ESPN FC as we catch up with Tyler Adams.
Hey, look forward to seeing that, Alexis. And meanwhile, of course, normally you're in London and you've been there a few years. And I think, is it fair to say that you've seen quite a stark change in the coverage that the women's game is getting in England?
Yeah, definitely, Dan. And honestly, I want to say probably in the last year, I have seen like a massive change and a massive push for the coverage for women's football and the WSL, as we've seen there, you know, helped by the likes of, we saw Tobin Heath coming over and playing as well for Manchester United women, and just the work that Emma Hayes has done at Chelsea Ladies. Now she's, you know, running with the big dog. She's a respected manager in England right now, right up there with some of the boys. Yesterday, I was at the British Sports Journalism Awards. I was actually asked to judge a category, believe it or not, for Sports Pundit of the Year. And the winner for that one was Emma Hayes. You know, she beat out the likes of Gary Neville and Ian Wright, some names that we're so used to seeing in football. And it's such a heavily dominated category by men. But she won, and the reception that she got was just out of this world. But something changed this year. I feel like people, you know, kind of realize that she's not winning this award just because she's a woman and there needs to be a box that has to be ticked. But we've seen the work she's done with Chelsea. We've seen that she does her homework as an analyst, and she deserves to be there, as do so many other women who are coming to the table. And now it finally feels that people are not just inviting women because they feel like a box needs to be ticked in the sport industry, but it's because a lot of people finally see that so many women actually deserve to be there.
We've seen ESPN Female Talent, of course, posting on social media today about women athletes that they like to see, that inspire them. Gemma, who's yours?
Mine, I choose Virginia Torrecilla. She's an Atletico de Madrid football player. She's the same generation as Alexia Putellas and all this golden generation that has changed this world. And I picked her because her story is incredible. Just the week before the pandemic start, she announced on social media that she was having a brain tumor. So she had to fight it during the pandemic, and she decided to do it, to explain it on social media. So this way she might be helping someone who was struggling the same. And she was such an inspiration for people who were suffering. And now, 2 weeks ago, she went back to football. She played a game for Atletico Madrid. And that's why I think she's such an inspirational woman, football player and person.
Yes, it's such emotional scenes when she came on for that game. Meanwhile, Alexis, what about you?
Well, I went for a pretty, I want to say predictable choice, because who does this woman not inspire? And I'm talking about Megan Rapinoe. And I know that everybody just absolutely does look up to her and the work that she's done. But back in summer 2019, I had the absolute privilege of sitting down with her and chatting with her for 30 minutes about pretty much how her world had just blown up, you know, off the pitch with politics getting involved, and the fact that she was just so unapologetically herself, and the fact that she was so educated in so many topics off the pitch. And she kind of, you know, let people know that women are not just here to shut up and play a sport, as so many people think we should, or shut up and get back into the kitchen, as sometimes people say. You know, they're there to hit a number of different platforms. And I think Megan Rapinoe has found the perfect balance to just show her talents on the pitch and off the pitch. And she does it with such a pizzazz and sass and unapologetic behavior that I think, how can she not inspire you?
You can check out more of that, of course, over on social media. Before you let you go, guys, of course, you've been brilliant this season, covering different games in different countries. So we thought we'd put together some of our favorite moments.
Oh, we are in the beautiful Barcelona, and that is this lovely lady's hometown, home city. Gemma Soler Hello. Is finally with me.
Hi, Dan. Yeah, definitely. I think now we can start talking about the Xavi effect. We'll see how long it is.
A very cold Madrid, but one thing that remains super hot, of course, is Real Madrid.
I'm with a special guest. I'm going to show you the mascot of Valencia, Raspanat. He's a Batman, yeah.
They saw the video of Craig Burley dancing with a Watford Hornets a couple of years ago. All right, now.
Why is it square?
It's square because I'm a rebel.
Like a football pitch?
I was trying to cover myself.
All roads point to Atletico Madrid for this one. I mean, just feel the vibe that's building in this fancy stadium.
Mmm. Good.
Whoa, what a hard life you both have. Out of everything, Gemma, what's been your favourite moment?
I think me and Alexis walking down the Ramblas and going to the Boqueria market to eat and to taste the local products.
Yeah, not bad. Alexis?
Oh, it's definitely hard to choose one. I definitely have loved our first opening weekend in Barcelona, where you were down. And if anybody's not experienced Barcelona Ale Moreno, they need to experience Barcelona Ale Moreno, because ain't no party like a Barcelona Ale Moreno party. But I think also just overall as well, I mean, in the spirit of International Women's Day, just being able to share with my eating partner in crime, Gemma Soler, as well. It's been great to be, you know, Chica's taking over the football world there. She's definitely opened a new world for me, and we've been enjoying every minute. And the fact that, you know, ESPN, we have La Liga for another 8 years, I say, watch out, because there's plenty more to be eaten and football to be talked about.
Alexis,
more
thank you very much.
On tour. And more mascots.
We look forward to seeing your interview tomorrow with Tyler Adams. Meanwhile, Gemma, of course, back with us this weekend for Barcelona against Osasuna. Thank you very much for joining us, guys, as we celebrate International Women's Day. Barca against Osasuna next Sunday, then. Coverage starts a little later, 3:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Also on ESPN Plus, of course, those four FA Cup quarterfinal matches. March 19th will be Borough against Chelsea. And then what a day for you on the 20th. Palace against Everton, Saints against City, Nottingham Forest against Liverpool. A cracking day of action there. Meanwhile, a number of big results in the Championship. Fulham thrashing Swansea City by 5-1. And meanwhile, Sheffield United beating Middlesbrough 4-1. Goalless between Blackburn and Millwall. Coventry losing at home against Luton by 1-0. And 1-1 draws between Barnsley and Stoke and Bournemouth and Peterborough. And just taking a look at what all of that means regarding the table. Fulham are almost done, aren't they? They are absolutely fine. 14 points clear of Bournemouth. They'll be kicking themselves at dropping points in a match they really should have won. Huddersfield, meanwhile, third, level on points with Bournemouth. Blackburn, fourth, 4 points adrift of that automatic spot. Bournemouth, meanwhile, though, have 3 games in hand over the chasing pack. If you haven't seen it, check out Football Americas from last night. They dedicated the whole show to those horrific scenes that we saw in that Querétaro Atlas match at the weekend. Exceptional stuff from the boys. That's available now. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you, as always, for watching. We will be back tomorrow for more, and of course, in particular, to focus on that big game between Real Madrid and PSG. But be sure to stay tuned, as Extra Time is next, as the boys answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie Nicol with us here in the studio. Gav Marcotti and Don Hutchinson also join us. We have a plethora of questions today. No time to mess around. For Stevie, over the two legs, Inter Milan played well. I don't see why you were so negative towards them after the first leg. Today, they proved they can go toe-to-toe with the likes of Liverpool. As a Liverpool fan, I hope this is the jolt they need.
Toe-to-toe? Seriously?
Toe-to-toe.
I'm sorry. I must have been watching the wrong game. They went toe-to-toe. Over 180 minutes, they scored a fantastic goal today with Lautaro. But for the rest of the two ties, did they make a chance where you're thinking they should have scored? I don't think they did. So it depends on your, it depends on what you think is played well.
Right.
If playing well means you don't get beaten 6-0 over two legs, then they played well.
Okay.
But other than that, the fact that Liverpool didn't play well in both ties suggests that they didn't play well because they never took advantage of Liverpool not being at their best. And even though Liverpool weren't at their best, they still were comfortable. I never once got the feeling that they weren't going to win the tie. Not once.
Did they play well, Gab?
Actually, hold on a second.
Oh, hands up.
I just remembered one thing, right? Gab was talking about how recently Liverpool were on a great run, but they've given up chances against Burnley, they've given up chances against Norwich.
Right.
They've given up chances against every team they've played, pretty much.
Right.
But yet, over two legs, Inter couldn't muster much of a chance.
Well, Gab.
So, I'm just saying, depends on your level of playing well.
I'm not going to dispute that, but Inter is starting from a different starting point than where Liverpool are at. Inter without arguably their best player. I think these things all have an impact. I think where Inter were really lacking was in the second leg in terms of cutting edge. And in the first leg, I disagree. I think Inter did have chances to score, and they didn't take them. And I think ultimately, that's what it boils down to. I mean, it's okay. We can say that that Inter played well against one of the best teams in the world, a team that, as you said earlier on the show, Stevie, was so good that they could play badly and still go 12 games unbeaten. Well, after winning 12 games in a row, they lost at home at Anfield.
Right. Forgot so, that.
If you're the other team, you say, "Hey,
Gab,
we did
keep
okay."
Keep your facts to yourself.
Don, how would you have reacted to a teammate in the locker room who did something similar to what Alexis Sanchez did?
Well, I've done it 6 times, so I'm not the man to be criticising someone. I've been there with a red mist. The trouble with Sanchez is it wasn't really a red mist thing. It wasn't like we're losing four and he's decided, right, my head's gone. Red mist, yeah. I'm going to top someone. It was just, it was ridiculous, really.
Go on, Gab.
If I can put a bit of context to Alexis Sanchez, he's not stupid, right? So he knows he's at Arsenal, he's playing great, one of the best players in the Premier League. He goes to United, he stinks it up. They can't wait to get rid of him. They subsidize his move to Inter. He goes to Inter, he's not starting, he's off the bench. He scores the odd goal, like, oh look, Alexis can be a super sub and so on. And he says, no, I can play from the first minute. I'm still that guy. And they've kind of spun this tale around him that, okay, fine. Well, if you're going to play instead of Lautaro or instead of Dzeko, in this case, you're going to have to go and give us so much more. And he said, oh, I can be the leader. I can be the guy for the big nights. I've played for all the biggest teams in the world. Look at me go. And so that's why I think he played on the edge all night, as did Vidal. The difference is that we're accustomed to Vidal getting sent off. He didn't get sent off this time, and he stayed on the good side and was, you know, in one of Inter's best players. Alexis, on the other hand, when you play with that intensity, you put yourself in that danger. I think a lot of it, in his case, is up here, wanting to show what he could do.
How did you react the locker room when someone got sent off? Because you never got sent off in your career, did
no.
you?
It absolutely, 100% depends on the situation. If somebody like Sanchez gets sent off for a challenge like that, nobody's going to say anything to him.
Right.
They're not. And I'm going to defend him here because Sanchez, his whole career, has been a committed player. But unfortunately, when you get older and you get slower, it doesn't register how slow you are. And so sometimes you end up making challenges that are just wrong. You're never going to get there. So from that point of view, I feel for him. The only time you lose your rag is with a player who, when you're either in a game or you're ahead, ends up doing somebody.
Like Don. Yeah.
Just because they want to do it.
Yeah.
Just because they're angry at them for something earlier, or they go around and they hit somebody, something like that. That's the only time you'll go for anybody in the dressing room. Other than that, we all get it that sometimes we misjudge things and make some mistakes.
Did they go for you, Don, when you got sent off?
Everyone does back in our day, Dan. I've done it myself to other players when they've let you down. You know, when you get sent off, you're letting your teammates down. I'm pretty sure, listen, it's one of them where he's gone in for the tackle And he should have been sent off for the first one. No question, no debate whatsoever. He should have gone then. The fact that he is a little bit daft, I disagree with Gab, is one shot on that yellow card, and the yellow is like an orange because it should have been red. He's borderline. He must know one more tackle, I'm getting sent off here. And the fact that he follows through on Fabinho, accidental, yes. Referee's seen it. He was always going to get sent off. I'll bet he doesn't play for Inter for the next two or three games after that, because Inzaghi will feel he's let him down.
He's not going to play in the Champions League, I don't think, this season anymore. Did the panel sometimes feel that playing against 10 men was more difficult than playing against 11?
No.
It's the old cliche,
no,
isn't it?
Absolutely not.
No. Is this complete rubbish, Don?
Yes.
I don't know if Stevie remembers when Graeme Souness was the manager at Dan, and he used to put on sessions where he would have an 11v11 on a big pitch, and then he'd take, let's just say, Stevie Nicol off, and he'd put your team down to 10 men and say, right, what do you do? How do you react when you go down to 10? What are you going to do? Without me helping you, without me fixing it, you sort it out, what you're going to do. And then he would actually take another one off, you go down to 9. And then that's where I think this question is quite relevant, because you go down to 9, you can get a bank of 4, you can have 4 in front of that, and you can sort of double up and you don't move. And then a team can actually keep the ball at the back all day long, and they actually struggle to break you down. So it's not the worst question in the world.
Wow, there you go. That's a backhanded compliment. For Stevie, if Lukaku was on the pitch for Inter today, would the outcome have been different?
Well, I would suggest if Lukaku had been playing today, there was a couple of times balls were played through.
Yep.
That, no question, his pace would have made a difference and whether they actually ended up getting a shot on goal. So I guess the answer to that is yes, he probably could have made a difference.
Gab, how can Serie A better monetise their league? I'm sick of not having any money, Napoli fan, while Villa can pay top dollar.
Like the obvious answer that everybody's gonna throw back at you is, ooh, stadiums. We need new stadiums. We need new fancy stadiums, and they're trying to build them, right? Fiorentina, I mean, Juventus did it, Udinese did it, Sassuolo did it, Inter and Milan are trying to do it. Napoli have talked about possibly doing it. Roma tried to do it. That's a short answer. We have a bunch of stadiums that, you know, were state of the art in 1990 for the World Cup. That was 30 years ago, and apart from those exceptions, they really haven't changed much. So that's one obvious way to do it. And then the rest, I think, you know, things are there. Once you start producing a better product, once you're more entertaining, I think the league has become a lot more entertaining in the last couple of years, then the sponsors come in. Once you have better owners, who are better at monetizing things, and they do have, in general, have better owners, then you start getting commercial sponsorship, and then you start going far in the Champions League and get those big Champions League checks, and then Bob's your uncle, you're on your way. See? Easy peasy.
Bish bash bosh, Gab solved it. Stevie, you are not known for being very serene watching Liverpool. Which player frustrates you more, Salah or Alexander-Arnold?
Oh, Salah. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, today, he probably had 4 players around him. Right? 4 innings of players around him. Now, you got to, at some stage, the goals he scores are so good at times,
yep,
that you really can't turn around and say, why are you not getting your head up and just giving it to him? Because he's capable of doing it. The problem is, for the one time he does it, he stands on it or falls over it or something stupid happens the other 5 times, and you're like, what are you doing? But then the minute you think, right, he just does something,
yep,
incredible. It's so weird.
Final question, as we run out of time a little bit, is the obligatory percentage question for Mr. Hutchinson.
Here we go.
What is the percentage chance of Liverpool winning the quadruple? We've already got one.
You had that the other night, didn't you?
I did that the other day. I went 10%. I'm going to go up 5.
You're going to go up 5?
Yeah. Hey. Gone up to 15. Well, every 15%. Time they progress.
Because it was so good to be against Inter.
Yeah.
I went 10% the other day, so I'm going to go 15, because every time they progress, they just get another little notch on the belt.
Wow.
that actually makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
The closer they get,
yeah,
it should go up.
Thank you for good.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for explaining that, everyone.
I apologise for having a go at you.
Higher or lower, Gab?
Lower, I think. Statistically, there's a reason why. I don't know that anybody's ever won the quadruple. I could be wrong. I stand corrected.
No.
It's extremely difficult. They're 6 points back against City, and they have to play City, which could go both ways. And obviously, City are still in the Champions League as well, as are Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain and Chelsea and Arsenal. Arsenal.
Yeah.
Real Madrid.
That's unnecessary.
And Atletico Madrid and Manchester United, they're all still in it.
Yes.
You know, a lot of stars have to align for that to happen. And as Stevie and I both agree on, they've not played well the last 12 games. So we're kind of assuming that them not playing well is by choice,
like,
and they will kick it up the notch.
Like twins,
we don't know that that's going to happen.
Yes.
We're thinking alike in everything.
15%?
What?
What do you mean what? What have we just been talking about for the last 2 minutes?
50% they can win the quadruple.
15%.
Oh, 15.
Yeah, that's what Don was saying, remember? 10, up 15. You're like, oh, I can see
15.
Where you're going with that.
He's busy agreeing with
Gab.
No, I think you got it right first time.
Yeah.
10%.
10%. Thank you very much. Real Madrid against PSG, of course, will dominate the show tomorrow. Be sure to join us. What a match that should be at the Santiago Bernabeu. Be sure to be with us then.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.